everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are really excited today to be here to be talking about a whole bunch of non-Hallmark Christmas movies. This is one of our bonus episodes, and I'm film critic Rachel Wagner, and I'm very delighted to be joined by one of our patrons today. I'm talking with Colleen is here.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Yes.
Do you want to take a second and introduce yourself and how you got sort of involved or started watching these type of Hallmark ish type movies, Christmas movies?
Sure. I can't remember exactly the time I got hooked on Hallmark. It's been at least a decade.
Yeah.
Probably 12 years if I had to guess. Like, I don't remember a specific movie or anything that I got
into.
But only in the last about 2 years did I get interested in the Lifetime and other type of movies. But I'm obsessed like the rest of you, and it's a nice little diversion from real life and all the stressors and all that. And some of the movies I just laugh at, they're so cheesy, and other ones I make me cry, and I've kind of the same emotions you guys have when you talk about them.
Yeah,
and it's been really fun, and I'm honored to be here. It's a really fun first time I've ever done a podcast. So
you're doing great. Well, thank you for coming on. And do you have a favorite Hallmark movie or especially love?
I should have thought about this, but I have a couple, but probably the one that sticks out the most, because I've watched it probably more than any other one, is A Taste of Romance, which I know might be weird.
Yes.
But I love that movie. And as far as Christmas goes, probably Nine Lives. And also, I loved Christmas with Holly. I know. Well, it's like Nine Lives, I know, is a huge favorite. But
I mean, in Taste of Romance, if you don't tear up a little bit when Bailey Madison is talking about her mother and she might be forgetting her, and I mean,
so good. And
it's so good.
Terry Polo, it took a while to like let go of the meet the parents stuff with her for me.
Uh-huh.
She's really good in that. And the guy who I knew from my past soap watching world life, I used to watch soaps a lot, and I remember him years ago from all my children. So I was like, I recognized him when I just love that one. That's probably right up there.
It's really good. I agree with you. It's definitely would be up there for me. It's of my favorites. Yeah, Nine Lives of Christmas. I really enjoy it. Oh, and the Christmas with Holly. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it's a good one.
They're really, really good together. So that helps that a lot too. So good choices. I approve. So I am actually like Mrs. Positivity today. I liked almost all of the movies that we're going to talk about. So that's exciting.
Wow. I liked all, at least some, most were serviceable. There was one I didn't care for, but the rest.
Yeah. There are two that I'm like less high on, but for the most part, I it was a pretty strong grouping.
Yes.
There'll be two that I saw that you didn't get to see.
Okay.
And so I'll just report on them. And, but we're going to start with Christmas in Paris. This was on the Up Network. We got to interview the actor who played the lead, Carly Lander, who played Lucas in the film. And he was really fun and charming. And I thought that he brought that to the role. I thought that he was very, very charming. And I thought that this brought in a lot of sort of soap opera elements in the right kind of ways. Because I like it when these movies just kind of lean into the swoon-worthy, you know, elements. And it had like a lot of, I don't know, betrayed feelings and lost loves and over the top gestures. And,
and
I love all that. I'm all for that. And I don't watch these movies for realism. And so I thought this was really fun. I thought Rebecca Dalton was a good match. I thought they had pretty good chemistry. I guess maybe I should read the summary. It's Lucas, a wealthy French entrepreneur, heads to Montana for a very attractive business proposal. When there, he meets Robin, falls in love, and whisks her away to Paris on a whirlwind Christmas adventure. But will business bring an end to this romance? Darn business. Business is the worst.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What did you think about this one?
Okay. I'm glad we're getting this one out of the way because this is my least favorite.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I didn't hate it, you know, and I don't have, like, you like to say, what's that thing you had
go to a dark place?
It didn't take me to a dark place, but I wasn't that excited about it either.
Okay.
I actually like the actress better than the actor, and I'm sure he's a wonderful human being.
Sure.
I just wasn't into the. Let me ask a dumb question. He's not really French. Is he really French?
Yeah, he's really French. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I shouldn't say what I was going to say then. I really wasn't sure. I didn't love the accent, you know, and I'm only, I'm not around French people regularly. I've only been to France once, but I don't know. Feel it for me. I thought they had okay chemistry. If I have a pet peeve, if I'm going to be nitpicky, I hate the way the subtitles were about size 4 font. You could barely see them on the screen. I thought that was very odd. I'm so used to seeing when they had a couple of subtitles in a movie that they're large enough that you could read them, you know, and I don't know why that bothered me, but that bothered me.
Yeah.
But I mean, wasn't the worst, but I didn't love it. I just,
that's fair.
You know, it was all right.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they could have used Daphne Zuniga a little bit better. I don't know, she kind of is gone for long stretches of the movie.
Right.
And, you know, you kind of have to get invested in this whole sort of, he wasn't told who his father was never told that he had a son. But that was all sort of melodrama that for me was enjoyable. But it's definitely a little kind of over the top.
Right.
I did really love all of the just swoon-worthy sexy scenes in Paris.
I mean, there was a lot of kissing in this movie.
Yeah, there really was.
Which was kind of like, I was kind of surprised being up, but I guess, you know.
Yeah.
But I did like that, and I did like the relationship with her father. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was good.
I mean, I want to read the Harlequin novel because this is one of the ones that's based on. I bet it's pretty steamy. That's pretty good.
I saw Harlequin. I thought, uh-oh. I don't know. But I still wasn't expecting as much kissing as much.
Yeah.
I was just shocked.
Really was. There was a lot, which was probably part of the reason why I enjoyed it. Because I like that. And I don't know, just very much sort of screamed like Paris adventure, Paris romance. And, I mean, they do fall for each other like instantaneously. There's a lot of those kind of sort of tropes that you have to, it's not a, like a deep, it almost feels more like a telenovela in a way to me than even a soap opera. You know, how could you lie to me after all these years? You never told me. That's funny to me.
It was Sophie. I saw your tweet about it, and I thought that is so true. And I, like I said, I was a diehard ABC soap person for a very long time. I grew up with them with my mother. But even this was a little more than some of the worst. I mean, the closest thing it makes me think of like a Susan Lucci, like how dare you? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wish they had more of that in these movies. I wish there was a little bit sometimes more camp.
Fun. Yeah.
And I love stuff like that. That I had my eras of watching soap operas and like just the I don't know. I love when they go really over the top. Like I remember I was watching it. I think it was Bold and the Beautiful at one point, and there was a woman had gotten marooned on a desert island, and so her and she had, of course, a romance on the island. And then when she returns back, she finds out that her husband has cloned her, and because he was so now there's her, and then there's the clone, and they're like fighting it out, and it was great. I love stuff like that. I think that's hilarious. So
that's awesome. I wish I would have been watching that one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That's awesome. Yeah, this had a little bit of that.
So, yeah. And so it was a fun time for me. I enjoyed it. I probably would give it, I don't know, I probably give it 3.25 crowns.
Okay. Well, like I said, it wasn't my favorite. I mean, it wasn't the worst. I'm going to go with, I originally wrote 2, but now that I think about the father-daughter thing, I think I'm going to up it a little bit to 2.25, 2.25. Yes.
Okay. Very good. All right. So next up, we're going to Lifetime. We had 4 Lifetime movies.
Okay.
And the first one is A Storybook Christmas. Oh, this stars Ali Liebert, Jake Epstein, who we will talk about again. If event planner Celeste Everett is going to save her business and give her niece a happy Christmas season, she's going to need help. When the nanny she hires turns out to be a man, Celeste surprisingly realizes she may have also found Christmas love for herself. So, yeah, so this movie, I thought that it was really well done and really sweet. And I thought the other guy relationship was actually like felt fairly real to me, was well done. And I liked the little girl, and I thought it made sense. Like her conflict, if she's having to raise her niece after this huge trauma that they both experienced, not just her, of losing, you know, her sister and, you know, I think brother-in-law, and that would be horrible. And I think that you would want to try to involve as many traditions of your sister as possible to try to help your niece. That seems like a very understandable situation. But then again, it's also kind of each time sort of tearing open that wound again. So how much do you involve, how much do you do that and remember, and how much do you start something new and sort of move forward and not just sort of sinking in the quicksand of grief. I thought that was very well done. And I thought that their conflict, their different perspectives was well done. I like both of them. I had never seen this Jake Epstein before. And he's a charming guy. I loved him. Yeah, right?
Loved him. Yes.
Yeah. I really did. And they, you know, she's kind of the over planner. He's more of a just spontaneous.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And I don't know, what did you think of this?
I loved it. This was up there. Probably, we'll see how it goes, but I probably my favorite. I just thought it was really well done. At first I was a little jarred because I just saw Ali Liebert in A Gift to Remember 2, and it was like she's kind of free-spirited a little bit, and, you know,
right.
That character was very different, and I was like, ooh, she's not a bad woman of business, but, you know, like a really, really focused business person.
Yeah.
Bed planner, which is not the best, but, you know, that's okay. but it was really well done. She had really good chemistry with the little girl, Fiddly. She was really good. I thought it was cute. I don't know what the intent was, but the little girl kept giving her all these hugs. I thought it was adorable. It kept happening throughout the movie. She'd run up to her and like give her like a bear hug. I just thought that was really sweet. I thought it added to, maybe it's like a protective thing, you know, because she felt abandoned and she had someone to love her and all that. And what was that line that Celeste kept telling her? I forget. And that you're loved and something. She kept saying the same thing over and over again. And I can't remember what it was. Something about you're appreciated and loved. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah, it was like you're special or something like that.
I just really liked it. I liked the male nanny aspect. I thought it was funny how they met. She thought he was the valet.
Yeah. I thought that was cute. Good. Well, and there was a few times where I was like, I felt like he was a little judgy unnecessarily. Like, let her make cookies however she wants. Who cares how she decorates the tree? You know, there was some stuff like that where I'm like, she can have a plan. A plan's okay, too. And also sort of, I was nervous about the ending conflict. I thought there was going to be this whole, like, how could you lie to me about being this author or whatever? But I thought they handled it pretty well. It really wasn't a big outrage, which I appreciated. That, you know, because she gets really, what did you think of how, do you think she got appropriately angry at him about the whole leaving her at the, leaving the girl at the, at school, not picking her up?
It reminded me a little bit of a time, God, what was that movie? One of the Mrs. Miracles that had Doris Roberts in it. Uh-huh. Is 8 years old. And there was a girl who had to take care of her nephew while her brother was out in the military. You know what I'm talking about?
I think that's the second one, the Call Me Mrs. Miracle, I think.
Yeah, that one I loved. And it reminded me of her. She flipped out a little bit on the little boy. And then she told the guy, oh, you can't. We can't do this and all that. You know, she kind of had a little bit of a freak out. It kind of made me think of that for some reason, but I thought it was appropriate, but at the same, I mean, it wasn't right. But he didn't do it on purpose, but you know, in the moment you don't really realize that.
Yeah.
I was actually shocked that she didn't get upset about the book. I was really surprised that it didn't really go anywhere. I thought that would be a bigger thing.
Yeah, me too. I was kind of glad though, because I feel like that would have been kind of grown worthy. So I was glad they didn't. But I was expecting it because they kept giving like little signs and building up the tension or whatever. But really, it was just an excuse for him to apologize. That was really the whole purpose of that plot, was for him to get the author, you know, and make the event work. And that was good. I mean, in comparison, you look something like the Mistletoe Inn,
right?
You know, where she's all like, how could you lie to me about not being, you know, this author or whatever. And that's what I was expecting, and I'm glad they didn't go that way.
And for that movie, another older one, I can't remember anybody's name, about the actor who, Gabriel somebody, who was hiding his identity, and he was the son of famous parents who were killed. And Amy Acker, is that her name? Archer, Amy?
Oh, a novel romance?
Yeah. How, where he was killed? Same kind. I mean, that was like, I don't know, maybe that's what I was expecting.
That's true. That's another good comparison, because he's the secret author or whatever.
Right. I mean, there's only so many ways you can go with it, I guess. But it was nice for that not to be the conflict. Jake Epstein, you know what I first thought? I thought he looks like, he reminds me of a young Mark Ruffalo. He talks, he sounds like him to me a little bit, and he kind of has that look. He doesn't like resemble him a lot, but I don't know. There was something about him that made me think of Mark Ruffalo in this really terrible, I'm going to admit this terrible movie I saw many years ago with him and Gwyneth Paltrow that is so bad that I loved it. It was one of those horrible movies. A View from the Top. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have not, but I'll have to check it out now.
It wasn't good. It was really cheesy, but he was so charming that it just sucked me in. And I love that movie, even though it's terrible. You know, I'm sure we all have those.
Yeah.
Poorly written and just really cheesy, but he was so good in it. It was in one of his earlier roles. And you should check it out. It's really cute. But reminds me of that level, that era of Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
Who I love. So I love him. I hope he's all over Hallmark next year.
I think that's a good comparison, Mark Ruffalo. I wouldn't have thought of that, but I think you're right. I think I could definitely see that. And I mean, the only thing is I don't understand why she said yes to the boyfriend. I don't know if she just felt social pressure or what, but I did like the fact that I liked their breakup. I thought it was handled very well. They were very mature, and there wasn't that sense of, I thought there was going to be sort of an angry kind of jealousy of her and the, you know, the nanny kind of a thing from him, or just something more petty. But right. I actually thought, like, basically when he said, you know, we gave it a, nothing to apologize about. We gave it a, you know, we gave it a shot. We tried. It's like, oh, there you go. Way to go.
Yeah, there wasn't, I thought they were going to make him, you know, a meaner guy.
Than I know.
But he wasn't bad. And he, you know, he wasn't all that connected to Finley, but I think he, you know, some people are just not meant to be parents at the moment when they're meant to be parents.
Well, I mean, and that's what she said to him. She said, you know, we talk about wanting to have children or wanting to be parents. She's like, that's me now. I'm in that now. Exactly. That's my life. And I mean, I can't even imagine how hard that would be to do something like that. I mean, not only are you having to parent a child by yourself, which is hard in and of itself, but secondly, it's just some, when you've both been through trauma, that it kind of reminds me of, what's it called? The, Gary Marshall movie with...
Oh, Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
Raising Helen.
Yes. Yeah.
I like that movie.
Which I like. I think that movie's a little underrated.
Yeah.
So yeah, that kind of reminded me of it. I liked this one. I thought it was good. It also felt really cold. I don't know when they shot this thing, but they did a really good job. If it wasn't in the cold, it sure felt like it.
Right. It was, I loved it. I thought it was really good. It was just up there for me this year.
Yeah.
So far on Lifetime this year, that was one of the better ones, I thought. So.
Yeah, I really did enjoy it. And I thought the whole thing with her being the understudy and all of a sudden having to be the lead.
Right.
And I thought that really worked. So yeah, I don't know. I'd give this one, I think I'm going to give this one 4 stars.
Yeah, I'm going to go 4.5 because I just really thought it was, I mean, it's not perfect. Nothing is, but Jake Epstein, he was fabulous. He made it. He added that extra for me, I thought. So
speaking of Jake Epstein,
okay,
we have another movie with him this weekend.
I know.
Called Mistletoe and Menorahs. This is one of 3 Hanukkah type movies, I guess, that are coming out, from 2 from Hallmark, 1 from Lifetime. This movie, it stars Kelly Jackal and Jake Epstein. The summary is, when a determined toy company executive, Christy, must learn about Hanukkah in a hurry in order to land a big account, she enlists the help of her coworker's friend, Jonathan, who happens to also be in desperate need of turning his bachelor pad into a Christmas wonderland to impress his girlfriend's father. So this movie, the premise is absurd. It is ridiculous that anybody's promotion would be based on their Hanukkah knowledge is ridiculous. That anybody would, I mean, I guess his is slightly more believable, that he would want to impress his father-in-law, I guess, but like, he's Jewish. I mean, if they were to get married, what is he going to continue the charade like his entire life? I mean, it's ridiculous. So, so I don't know. That wasn't the best. And I don't know, these toy companies and movies this year. I've been.
How many toy companies are there for real these days? There aren't that many, are there? Aren't they all conglomerates?
I mean, I think they're all basically, I mean, you've got like Mattel and Fisher-Price and, you know, companies like that. But
I don't know.
I think in Hasbro, I mean, those are like the big, it's just so funny to me. They pretend like China doesn't exist.
Right.
And what was with this, I mean, can you imagine a single child in the world wanting a congressman action figure? Like what?
No. Maybe to throw darts at.
What? And like the other competitor toy company is literally spying on them for the big get of the, they're gonna scoop them on the congressman dolls. I mean, that was ridiculous. And then was her solution was the all the different gods of
biblical dump. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And I'm like, again, what? How are they going to be able to sell? But then the executives were like, oh, this is brilliant.
I know. I mean, I don't know any child or parent of a child that would be their first choice. I mean, I'm not saying that to slight anything. That's something. What do you do with it? You know, it's kind of like the movie Big. Remember with the book, The Building, when Tom Hanks says, you know, it's a building. Why would you turn it into a robot? Like, what would you do with a biblical action figure? I mean,
I know they're like hardcore Christians and stuff that get that kind of thing, but even them, I don't think they'd want something that's like, it would be too irreverent for them.
That was my thought too. Yeah. Then you cross that other line. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Not then you're kind of, making it almost like a sacrilege in a way, you know, to like turn it into a toy. Cause you know, it's not a toy and it's weird. No.
I mean, can you imagine if they, I know people love like, so there's some popular congressmen and congresswomen, right. Yeah. But can you imagine if you gave that to a kid, they'd be like, what?
Mine? They don't even know. I mean, we've talked at work about this. Some of us don't even know who our congresspeople are. I do, no. But some people don't even know who they are. You know, they don't know the name of their person, let alone what they look like. And if they're not one, if you're not a TV watcher and you don't watch politics, then you would have no idea if he walked next to you on the, in the mall. I mean,
and we're grown humans. Like, we're not little children that want to play with toys. I mean, and then she had this, her boyfriend was kind of a lot. I could see his side for most of it, you know, that he was just like, yeah, I'm not into that, you know? And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's right. Part of every relationship. But then when he's like applying for jobs for her and not even talking to her about it, I was like, yeah, this guy's the worst.
That's a little, yeah, I would not, no way.
You know, and like not talking to her about anything. This was such a bro guy that it's just like, ugh, the worst.
I mean, I know a lot of sports freaks, but like I'd get really tired of that. You know, I mean, I like sports, but not like that level. I mean, some of these hardcore men, oh my gosh, drop everything. You can't do anything. And it just seemed to be a big focus for him, but it was just a little much for me.
Well, he was just completely unwilling to listen to her at all.
Right.
Like, if it wasn't something that he's interested in, then he didn't care at all. And he seemed only interested in making money and in sports.
Right.
And he wasn't even willing to try the latkes that she made. Just try it. It's just like potatoes. Like, come on.
Oh, I love Christian and I love latkes.
Yeah.
my mother used to make them. Oh, but, my goodness. They're yummy. I mean, that's just delicious. It's potato pancake. It's so simple.
Like, it's not, and even if it's not your favorite, that's fine. But, like, I feel like that's not a stretch to ask your significant other to try a potato cake. I mean, come on. You know, not like you're asking them to try, like, alligator or something that's, you know, a little weird.
Right, or like, heck, I'd even serve matzo ball soup to family if I want. You know, I think they would like it. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a good dish. I like it, but
yeah,
I like that sort of thing. But yeah,
and I mean, I'm not married, and so, but I just feel like any relationship, if it's going to work, you have to at the very least, you have to be willing to listen about the things that your partner is excited about. Like, even if you don't participate, it's not your thing, that's fine. But like, I feel like at the very least you need to be like, oh, that's cool. I'm so glad you had a good time. Like,
right. Exactly. I was married at one time. I'm not married now. And I'm not. This is not the right thing. I mean, it's hard to get, and it's hard on your soul, I feel, and your psyche to tell someone something and then them just totally ignore you or like, yeah. They don't listen. That really bothers me. So.
Right. So I feel like now I'm sounding like I hated this movie, which is not true. I actually quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because I think the movie acknowledges that he's a jerk. It doesn't try to paint him as positive in any way. So that's right. Helpful. And I was willing to just sort of laugh off the ridiculous, convoluted premise because yeah. I thought that they had really nice chemistry.
Yes, and, I agree.
and were really charming. And I also thought that that it was fun just seeing how – I thought it was such a good way to kind of introduce all of these different traditions to the audience – and to see them explaining them to each other was really fun and cute. And,
right.
I felt like it got to kind of the core of the, of what makes the traditions, each of them special.
Right.
And so I actually ended up really enjoying it, but mainly mostly for their chemistry and all the sort of the holiday sharing time. I don't know. What did you overall think of it?
I thought it was, yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you said. It's a crazy premise. First of all, isn't there like a separation of church and state and all that? And like your job can't base, you know, yeah, unless you work
it's absolutely
right.
It's absolutely ridiculous. There,
I mean, you can't. I work for a hospital that's Jewish based, but uh-huh. I don't have to be Jewish or follow the Jewish tradition or, you know, it doesn't affect my job performance. It doesn't affect, you know, anything. And I think that's crazy. So I totally agree with you on that. What funny things that cracked me up was the name. I don't know if you noticed the name of the coffee shop she went to. Happy Goat Coffee Shop. That was hilarious.
I didn't notice that, but that's funny.
Happy Goat Coffee Shop. And her coffee order was just outrageous. I mean, that was like the Starbucks times 400.
Wasn't it? It was like an espresso latte with almond milk, no foam, like something like that.
At 120 degrees in my own mug.
Right.
That was crazy. And the other cute thing I thought was funny was when he thought what was mistletoe was actually parsley.
Oh, yeah. That was cute. I liked that.
But I agree. The chemistry kind of saved the silliness of it, and I thought they had a good vibe, and so that made it better for sure.
Yeah, so I think so, and I ended up enjoying it. And like I said, I thought that it was nice seeing them kind of explain the different traditions to each other. Like the whole fruitcake thing was funny.
Yeah,
that made me laugh, and so I'd recommend it to people. We'll see how it compares with the other two. That'll
right.
be interesting
right.
Coming up. So
the 21st, and I don't even know when the other one is. The one is on the 21st. I know.
Yeah. So I'd give this 3.25 stars. Overall, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I would say 3.5. Just because of the chemistry and that Jake Epstein again, he's pushing everything up for me. He's just the new little gem, I feel. He needs to be a Hallmark star or Hall star. Awesome.
They really do need to get him. I guess someone was saying he's been in some supporting roles in Hallmark movies, but he needs to be a lead. He was so charming.
I never noticed movies. Him. I've never paid attention.
I guess he was on Degrassi, which is something I've never watched. People are always like, I can't believe you haven't watched that show. I'm like, I haven't watched most television shows. I'm a movie person. I'm not a television person. So.
I watch a lot of TV, but I think that's past my time. I'm next. So I don't know if that was, I don't even know what that was around. I was older.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They are the good folks over at Skylight Frames. And right now you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark. That's $10 off. You enter code Hallmark. That's Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com. promo code Hallmark. And what's really cool about Skylight Frame is we've seen a lot of these digital frames over the years. And what's nice about this is that you can add pictures so easily. It's a completely digital experience. And so people can just email a photo directly to the frame. So you don't even need to be connected in any kind of way. So you could be looking at your frame and surprise photo from a relative, a friend, or whatever who has the email could pop up. And that would be such a fun time, especially if you have somebody in your life who isn't on Instagram, who isn't as social media savvy, then I think this would make it an extra special gift. I'm definitely giving one to a relative in this Christmas. So I'm excited for that. And it looks really nice. It's not like bulky, like some of these digital frames that I've seen over the years. This one is a 10-inch touchscreen, really easy to use, satisfaction guarantee. You can get a full refund if you're not satisfied. So definitely check out Skylight Frame. You can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame. Go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark. That's $10 off Skylight Frame. Enter code Hallmark, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, promo code Hallmark. So, all right. Then we had Christmas Unleashed.
Uh-huh.
And so this one, it stars Christopher Russell and Vanessa Lachey. Mm-hmm. And it's when Becca's dog runs away on Christmas Eve, she must team up with her ex-boyfriend Max to find him. As the pup leads the exes on an all-day and night search through their North Carolina hometown, they revisit people, places, and things that remind them of the Christmas past they spent together. So what did you overall think of this movie?
I thought it was cute. I did enjoy it. It wasn't anything, you know, fantastic, anything life earth-shattering. But I thought it was pleasant. I thought they had good chemistry. I do like Vanessa Lachey. I liked her in that movie last year
Yeah, I liked that one a lot better than this.
Yeah, that was cute.
But
I liked her hair.
I have a hard time buying Christopher Russell as like an every guy. I think he's way better in roles where he's sort of the pretty boy. You know what I like?
I don't know. I agree. I mean, I like him, but yeah, I don't love him as the star, which is kind of unusual.
Yeah. Like I liked him way better in Mistletoe Secret.
Yeah.
You know, kind of playing this like jerky kind of guy. And I don't know. I just feel like he pulls that off way better. Sort of the slick, cool, like he'd be good as a bad man of business that's reformed.
You know, right.
The movie he's come around and kind of thing. And so He was a little miscast, I thought, for this role. And this movie has so much exposition. The whole movie is basically them just sort of talking about the past. And right. I did get a little sleepy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the dog's super cute. And I thought that it was fairly well written. They did what they could with it as far as them, like, feeling like actual people.
Mm-hmm.
That you didn't have to suspend disbelief that much. Like you could picture, I feel like this actually happening, which I appreciated.
Right. What kind of bothered me, and maybe it's just an irrational thing because I actually only have a cat, but I love dogs and I follow a lot of dogs on Instagram. You know, I follow some famous dogs. So I'm obsessed with all the dog posts and oh my gosh, if that dog was lost, I would be in panic. I'd have a panic attack if my dog was lost. I feel like it was too casual. But I get that you couldn't overwhelm the movie with that either. But for me personally, I would have been I would have been inconsolable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So much could happen with a dog. You just get hit by a car or whatever. That part bothered me. But, you know, in the meantime, revisiting everyone and I like the grandmother. I like her. I don't know the actress' name, but I've seen her in a lot of stuff. I liked her, and I thought it was, you know, it was okay. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't the best. It was just there. It was average. Yeah. Yes.
I thought that she was pretty upset. Like, I thought that she was appropriately pretty shaken up, but I can understand that. I'm not a dog owner, so I don't have that perspective, but you know, them kind of looking for the dog and then sort of the flashbacks going back was where it got a little boring for me. And you're supposed to buy that this Christopher Russell character was this super nerdy guy in high school. And
no way. He was a football star.
I mean, right.
He was not the band guy or the other, you know, the art guy. He was the football star. He was the guy with the leather jacket that had all the prom dates. He was the senior prom king. Come on. You know?
Yeah. And I don't know. There were a lot of funny moments, like when they have the dog in the, I don't know, they go on their like really romantic carriage ride and you've got the dog in there. Like I probably wouldn't want that, but, they have a bunch of different Christmases. So they basically showed four Christmases. This movie was really Christmassy.
Yeah.
In these flashbacks.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I liked.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have this dream of running the dog sanctuary. You know, that was kind of nice. And everybody in the supporting cast is pretty good, I thought. And Lane Edwards had a small role. Which
was, oh, my gosh. Did you believe that? He and Casey Manderson.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my goodness. A totally different kind of role. That was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good.
And Storm Megan.
Right. I was very involved. Not as much as in one of the other ones we'll talk about. But, yeah, that was fun. Do you like that Lifetime's done that?
I think it's funny. I just think it's funny. I just wonder what the motivation behind naming it Megan was. I mean, maybe they were just thinking of the Duchess. I don't know. You know, I don't know. It just makes me wonder. But it's cute. I think it's kind of funny that they kind of are consistent with it, which is kind of cool. So,
I mean, this is your classic run from the that she ran to the city and left the guy at the small town and he becomes the veterinarian and she becomes the soulless lawyer or whatever she was. And then we get our, once they find Max and everything's happy and it's great. And, it was cute. And then, or not Max. What was the dog's name? That was Christopher Russell's name, Max.
The dog's oh my gosh, name Henry.
Henry, that's right, Henry. So then she gets made partner in the law firm.
Yeah.
She's pretty excited about it. But of course, now she wants to stay in the small town as any good heroine would want.
Yes, in one of these movies has to be.
But I was a little confused. So the ending, she's very pregnant. So I guess they got married and got busy real quick.
Yeah.
But because it's supposed to be just another Christmas. So it was just a year
away.
But also, so he gives her two puppies for the Christmas gift.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot to manage when you're just about to have a baby. But I guess they now have a sanctuary. So I guess. But were those puppies Henry's puppies?
I don't see how, because the dog would have been about 8 years old by that point.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about
I don't know anything about dog. I don't own a dog, but I know enough about him just following all these, you know, I have family members with dogs.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the people I follow are dog rescue advocates, and they take the dogs to be neutered right early on because they don't want to, because the shelters are so overcrowded, so they want to prevent it. So in this case, I mean, we don't know that situation, obviously, and it's not important, but I'd be shocked because usually I don't know when they stop breeding or stop, you know, but probably younger than that. Probably like 4 or 5 years old, if I had to guess. And I thought they said the dog was 7 or 8. So.
Yeah. So this movie, I it was a little boring for me, but I still overall, I thought it was fine. I give it 3 stars.
Yeah, I was going to do, I gave it 2.75 because I thought it was cute. But like I said, even though it may be irrational, I thought she wasn't upset enough. But then again, like I said, I'm one of these people that freaks out when it comes to that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
maybe it's just my personal feelings about that getting in the way. But overall, it was cute. It wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm. All right. So next up, we have Grounded for Christmas. So this movie stars Juliana Gwil, who has been in a number of Hallmark movies before, like Summer in the City, for instance. And it also stars Cheryl Ladd as her mom, and then Corey Sevier as Brady. And Juliana plays a pilot who she's going to go fly to Miami, and then her and her friend are going to go to Turks and Caicos for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's always a bad sign when a character is going to try to go to a tropical island for Christmas. That's they've lost their way. It's like in Return to Christmas Creek, which I hated. But you know, where she was like, how dare you go to Turks and Caicos?
Or like the Four Christmases movie when they were going to go to Fiji.
Yeah. It's a disaster. Yes. And so she has this special kind of suitcase. And as she's going through security, she thinks that this other pilot has taken her suitcase. So it turns out they didn't. And he has the same similar suitcase. Anyway, so there's a little meet cute, totally meet cute. He asked for her number, and this guy Brady, and she's like, no, I'm not giving you my number. And so they start sort of talking, and it turns out that everything has been canceled. Winter Storm Megan has reached its apex. It is ruining their lives. And so they have nowhere to go. And so she says, well, we'll go to my parents and you can stay there. Well, she gets to her parents, and her parents are having a big, big party, which includes her ex. And she doesn't want to go into the party, saying that, you know, she's single and she doesn't want to have to deal with it. And so I can't remember if it was him or her that suggests, but they totally do my favorite thing, and they agree to have a fake relationship. Yes. And she thinks it's just going to be for the party, no big deal. And it turns out that they keep getting delayed and delayed and delayed. They have to stretch out this fake relationship. Obviously, like, things start to happen. It turns out that he's wanted to ask her out for a long time. And I thought this movie was so cute. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah. It is totally a standard formula for this type of plot, but I thought it was executed very well. I really enjoyed pretty much all the scenes together. I really liked their chemistry. I don't know, even just little scenes, like when they're playing games together, or I don't know, I liked both of them a lot. I just thought it was really good.
Yeah, it was cute. Let me just get this out of the way. I grew up in Cleveland.
Okay.
So, first of all, because, you know, I just have two little nitpick things. One. The airport is not called Cleveland. Just for the viewer, for the listeners, the airport is called Cleveland Hopkins International Airport.
Oh, okay.
The Hopkins out, which I'm like, if you want to be really accurate, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter, but it mattered to me only because I grew up there. But they did get the skyline right. They showed that once, and that was right. So that was good. But I thought it was adorable. Otherwise, I think that Juliana Gwil. I've only seen her in that Summer in the City, which I thought was a wonderful.
Yeah.
She's so cute. And she reminds me a lot. She reminds me of Alicia Silverstone a lot.
I can see that.
Physically.
Yeah.
She kind of looks like her, and I just think she's just really charming and just really pleasant, and they had good chemistry. The suitcase thing was funny. I mean, first of all, where was her tag on it? Whether or not you're a pilot, I didn't see any tags.
Yeah. No, that would have really helped solve the problems if they had a tag.
If you have a commonly colored suitcase, I mean, I think the thing these days is to just put like a scarf or something to tie on it, so that, or a piece of string, or, you know, something, a piece of yarn, whatever, to make sure that you can distinguish it when it's coming off, coming down the bag.
Yeah. Like, it's totally fair. But I really liked her friend. I thought that she was a nice sort of person for her to call and sort of geek out over with. I liked all the sort of cuddly scenes between them, like that whole scene where he's got that there's this gray sweater that I said to Lisa, and I was like, you gotta like this sweater, right? It's looking good. And they're in front of the fire and they're all cuddly and it was cute. And I liked the whole snowball scene. I thought was very fun. I mean, she looked beautiful in that red dress. Finally, somebody wearing appropriate dress to a ball, a Christmas ball. it wasn't black or some weird color.
I'm thinking of you with all that because I'm like, what is she wearing? The one girl had blue in the one movie, and Allie Liebert had red in her movie, and
I was proud of her. It was good. There have been a few, like Kimberly Susten wearing pink. I'm like, don't people know what you wear to a Christmas ball?
I mean, to be fair, pink is kind of a frou-frou. Like, you can buy now, like, pink-colored, pink and blue. Like, the two girls in that movie had the pink and, like, the light powder blue. Like, you can buy decorations like that, but to me, it's still not, like, normal. To me, Christmas is red and green.
So. Yeah.
Yeah,
I also liked the scene where he's doing the push-ups and she's like, whoa. That was so good. That was totally my jam. And I don't know. I just thought it was really charming. And I thought that Cheryl Ladd and the person who played her dad did a really good job. I just thoroughly enjoyed it from beginning to end. I also liked the way they did the reveal of him being back. You know, and they're playing, all of a sudden her dad is playing the song that she likes very loudly. She comes down and surprise, he's there. And it was so cute.
Oh, it was really cute. It was really well. I just thought it was cute. I love the Stranded movies. I think they're sweet.
I do too.
There's something good about a lot of the Stranded wherever flights are canceled. I like those kind of movies. I'm hoping I'm flying actually this year to Cleveland for Christmas, and I'm hoping it doesn't happen to me, but cross your fingers on the 23rd.
Hey, if you end up with somebody like Corey,
better not be coming. No winner.
Yeah, it made the ending really satisfying, and the fact that she chooses to be with her family was really sweet. And but I also liked that her friend wasn't just sort of abandoned. It's just the other guy's like, hey, you want to come to Turks and Caicos? And he's like, woohoo, on the text. That was really cute. So I really enjoyed it. I give this one 4.25, I think. 4.5 maybe even. It was a very classic what I like about these kind of movies. So I'm going to give it 4.5. Why not?
I'm going to go with a 4 only because they got the Cleveland thing wrong. And I know that's being picky, but really it was very good. I really enjoyed it. I would have probably given it a 4.25 if they hadn't messed up the airport.
Very, very good.
The general vibe that everyone makes it out to be, probably never been, but Cleveland is, I mean, I know I left there, but Cleveland is not as bad as they make it out to be. Not that bad.
Right. Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And also, I mean, no family is really like this where, I shouldn't say no family, but I don't think that many families are really so judgmental if you're single that you would need to do this. So you do have to suspend disbelief.
Right.
And just have fun with this trope. It's a trope I like. So there you go.
It was cute. It was very cute. And the chemistry was great. And the acting, I just love her. She's a little delight. She needs to be on more too.
I agree. I really, really like her. And made me want to go rewatch Summer in the City because I remember really liking that one. Then there's a couple that I saw that you didn't get to see. I'm just going to update them real quick. Okay. So I saw Ghosting the Spirit of Christmas on Freeform. This movie is very weird. I guess I appreciate that they tried something different, but I don't know. It didn't quite connect with me. The characters were a little, I don't know, a little too selfish for my taste. And there wasn't the emotional core that I kind of needed because it's about this girl. She goes on this great date with this guy. And after the date, she gets in a car accident and she's killed. And it was called Ghosting, so I don't think that's a spoiler. And but in order for her to ascend into heaven, I guess, she needs to have her great love. And so that's kind of what the story's about. And only her best friend and her, this boyfriend guy, this date guy, can see her. And I felt like they didn't do enough of like the funny part potential in that story. They were pretty straight about it, trying to be the drama. But then there were parts of it that, I don't know, I felt like they were a little unkind and a little cold. And so then it didn't quite work for me, the drama side of it. I liked her friend. She's played by Kimiko Glenn.
Okay.
And she was pretty good. She was pretty good. And she has this, she's like this artisan tea maker. And so she has this dream of going to Mongolia for this like tea retreat, but she's having a hard time like taking the leap. And so that was okay. That was decent, but I don't know, especially her and this guy, I did not feel any chemistry really at all. And I thought that he wasn't my favorite. And so, yeah, it, I mean, they do have some diversity, some LGBTQ relationships, which is nice, to see. It just didn't quite nail it for me. I appreciate that they tried something different. I'm not going to say it's awful, but I'd give a 2.5 for me.
Oh, okay.
Right down the middle.
Just the title is weird to me.
It is weird. And the ending was really weird, but I won't spoil it if somebody wants to watch it.
Yeah, I'll probably at some point try to see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Okay, then I saw on BYU TV, I saw A Very Corgi Christmas. It's about this girl who's this workaholic, single mom, but she sort of has convinced herself. It's kind of the thing of like, well, I've come this far. I've given up this much for work, so I have to take the next project or all of what I've done is going to be for nothing. So she just keeps taking more and more and more and more. She decides to go and stay with her parents for Christmas, but it turns out her parents are on a cruise. And so she ends up meeting this neighbor who's also a single dad. They get along pretty well. The one little, her little girl wants a puppy like super bad. And there's these, obviously it's called A Very Corgi Christmas. But the main plot of the movie is sort of her kind of giving up, finally saying enough is enough with this job. It stars Kelly Kruger and Kevin McGarry. And this one I would say is just fine. Like it's not, it doesn't have the budget quite of, it's a little bit of a step down from your Lifetimes and your Hallmark.
Okay.
But the puppies are really cute. And I thought that they had okay chemistry. It's not the best, but not the worst. Kevin McGarry can, I think, have chemistry with just about anybody.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's had, I think he's had 5 movies this season. So.
Oh my goodness. I didn't
way to
realize.
Go. Yeah. If you include the When Calls the Heart, he's been.
Oh yeah. 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 Okay.
It's 4 or 5. I forget, but wow. He was in Christmas Scavenger Hunt.
Yeah.
He was in the
Random Acts. Was that
Random Acts of Christmas.
Yeah.
In this Very Corgi Christmas. So I guess 4, he's in 4. Wow. And then went, cause the When Calls the Heart movie. So he was in 4 this year. And this one was okay, but it was a little dry for me. And I felt like she was kind of a bit too demonized for working hard and treated a little harshly by the script, which is something that I hate. And there's this whole scene, which was super cringeworthy, where she decides to not go to the tree lighting because she'd promised her son that she would go, and because she's called into work. And she gets there and the only person at the office is this woman. And this woman is like, it was like a scene out of a like film noir movie with like the hardened person like at the bar, you know, kind of talking. And she was there and she's like, yeah, I gave my life and soul to this company. Don't make the same mistakes that I did. And I don't know. It was very cringeworthy to me, that whole scene. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, but still, I would give it a, I'm going to give it 2.75.
Okay.
For this one. It's not awful, but it's not great. Okay. And then The last one that I saw, and then we'll talk about one more that you saw, was on TV One. It's called Dear Santa, I Need a Date. And it, I never thought I would be recommending a movie with Ray J in it. Oh, so, here we go.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah. What have we come to?
it's I need to examine my life choices, I think. But this was actually pretty funny. It doesn't have as high a budget as some of these other ones, but it's basically a pretty clever concept. You've got Ray J, and you have a Regina Carter is the other name, I think. And anyway, they're brother and sister, and their parents are like, we need grandkids. Like, come on, bring, and they challenge the parents, challenge them to bring a date to Christmas. Yeah. Oh. So they take it upon themselves to basically like make a bet with each other that, so most of the movie, about 2/3 of the movie, is actually pretty funny with them like going on all these different dates. And there's all these like hashtags that are on the, and like it'll say like hashtag high maintenance or something like that in the, there was some pretty funny sort of text and some pretty funny jokes, I thought. And then they finally get up to Christmas. They have their dates, and of course they haven't known very long because it's just been, a couple of weeks, and they find out that both of their dates are actually, they were both estranged from their marriage partner. They're both separated. Turns out they're actually married to each other.
Oh.
And so they're like, great, how do we tell this? Because the mom's like super excited about them. And it was funny. I laughed. I thought it was well done.
That was funny.
Yeah. So if you just want some laughs, then I recommend it. I liked it. So there we go.
To be fair, I had it on my DVR and I'm running out of space. I had to delete it because I had to pick. I have so much stuff saved that I don't want to delete.
Right. No, I get that.
I have to just really clean house soon here because it's really bad. It was like a 97%.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, I get that. You got to keep the DVR space becomes very prized.
Yes.
But it was a welcome surprise. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I'm going to give it 3.75 stars.
Good.
Yeah, it was funny. Made me laugh. Okay. Then we have Same Time Next Christmas. And this, I do not understand why this movie got bumped up to ABC. Why didn't they just release it on Freeform? It's so weird to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my only thought is because it had Lea Michele, it had some stars in it. I don't know.
It's weird.
I have no idea.
I mean, she's not that top tier to me. Maybe she
I
didn't know.
Not anymore. She was, but not anymore.
I guess. I, the only thing I can figure is that they had a sweet deal with that hotel because that they would put it on ABC. I think I've actually been to that hotel.
Nice.
I haven't stayed there, but I've been to it in Oahu. But they had some really, really like huge glamour shots of just that hotel.
It was beautiful. Like, the scenery was gorgeous. I mean, it was like stunning stuff.
That was probably my favorite part because I love Hawaii. There's nothing I love more than Hawaii. So probably the setting was my favorite part of the movie. Hawaii. And it's refreshing because you never get it in the warm, warm climate. So it was fun that way. And basically, it's about Lea Michele character and this guy that their families always go to Hawaii every year from the time that they're little, and they kind of have this playful banter, and they even have their first kiss together. And then things happen and they end up getting separated, and they don't go for quite a while. She gets lost in business, and his mom dies, and she calls to help him through all that, and he just ignores her calls, and that's what kind of hurts their relationship. And his played by Charles Michael Davis, who I've never seen before. Anyway, then they end up reuniting. She's dating Brian Greenberg, And I think that he was by far the better choice, Ryan Greenberg, over this other guy. That was my biggest problem with this movie, is that I didn't really like this Charles Michael Davis. I think his name was Jeff.
Okay, yes.
I didn't really like him. I thought that what really annoyed me was after they'd had the kiss, and then he ends up going back to his wife that year, and then comes back the second year, and like instantaneously he just expects to like have a makeout session, and I was like, that is not okay.
That was weird.
I just felt like this guy's a player. Like, he's not, I don't know, he needed to try to kind of woo her, or I just didn't like that. I felt like he expected her to kind of give in to his hunkiness, and I felt like the Brian Greenberg character, which he's so handsome. Why the heck is he playing the other guy? I have no idea.
Yeah, I didn't think that was great casting, actually.
No, I don't think so either. And I just felt like he was, maybe he was looked a little bit foolish wearing his wetsuit for the
that was funny
for the Christmas games. But at least he's like out there trying and has some energy, and and he was totally up for doing kind of whatever she wanted to do. For the most part, he didn't want to go swimming in the waterfall, but I don't know. I just felt like he was way better, and just not this. I felt like he didn't take her for granted like this other guy did. That was kind of the death of this movie for me, is I didn't think they had chemistry, and I did not really like him as a character.
So I liked it better than you. I thought he was kind of a jerk at times. Yeah. I agree with you on that, but I thought he was so good looking that I couldn't get past that.
Yeah, he's very attractive.
I'm having moments during this one. I thought he was really handsome. He reminded me of someone else, and I can't think who. Maybe I can't think of who.
I thought that he was like a lower cost Michael B. Jordan, kind of. He had a little bit of that look to him, I think.
Or like a Shamar Moore type of person.
Yeah. That's
That's true. I did look him up. He's on some show, but I can't remember what it is. But I still thought he was really nice.
Yeah, he is very handsome. There's no doubt about it.
But what I liked about the story, number one, I was a Glee fan, but Lea Michele was not my reason. You know, there's a lot of reasons I liked the show when it was at its peak.
Yeah.
But she drove me crazy, but I liked her at the same time. It was one of those characters. But she wasn't Rachel in this one, finally, I feel. I haven't seen all her roles since Glee, but I felt like she was different enough, so that was good. But I didn't buy her as a famous, really, really popular, high-power architect. I just didn't buy that. She's too artistic and creative for that kind of role.
Yeah.
And I agree about Brian Greenberg. He was miscast, and they kind of made him out to be a jerk, but I like him in everything else, so I feel like it was just hard. It was forced in a way.
Yeah. Have you ever seen his – this is very not Hallmark movie, but have you ever seen the movie Prime?
Yes! I love that movie.
It's so good. Him and Uma Thurman have such good chemistry.
Oh my gosh, it was great. And they were like years apart, right?
Yeah, that's the whole bit, and Meryl Streep is hilarious. I think it's actually quite underrated, but it is very steamy.
It's
so
a fantastic movie. Yes, I love it. And that's my favorite movie of his.
Yeah, and I think he's super handsome.
Yeah.
And so it was a weird choice for him playing this kind of geeky role in the sort of man of business. But I still liked him better. I just thought he seemed nicer and wasn't as much a player as this other guy.
I think they tried to soften the Jeff character with this daughter who was adorable.
Yeah, she was cute.
The father. I liked the father a lot. Yeah. He was really funny. He had some funny things. The whole football thing was kind of funny, actually. It didn't bother me.
Yeah.
So,
well, Nia Vardalos was fun as her mom.
Weird. I mean,
she's basically there to just be like super, super into her husband. Let's put it that way.
No, it was weird. And George Newbery, I mean, he's still 20 years old or however he was in Father of the Bride. Like, I can't get past him being in his probably 50s, right? I mean, I can't. Probably. It's weird. And they were just, there was one cringeworthy line early on. I don't even remember what it was. It was awful. It was something referring to their personal life. And I was like, please don't go there. It was almost like your parents saying something.
They were very, I'm trying to think of a Hallmark way to say this. They were very in love with each other. Yeah. How about that?
You
were very physically attracted to each other.
Go a little further, just very touchy-feely.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That's a good way.
They were weird. I mean, and I again, just like seeing George Newbern, right?
Yeah.
Father the Bride character, I can't see Mia Vardalos beyond her Big Fat Greek Wedding, which is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Me too. Yeah, I always think that George Newbern is Paul Rudd. I think they look so similar.
Yes! Well, Paul Rudd aged a lot better, let's be fair.
Yeah, that's fair. But they especially, and I thought that it was, for years, I thought that it was Paul Rudd, Father the Bride. I really did.
Yeah, Paul Rudd is awesome. He's awesome.
But anyway, yeah, he's 54. I don't know how old the Fredalis is, but I don't know. They had some, I thought some funny lines, but you're right. It was a little awkward too.
I mean, I thought it made it funnier, but it was like this little side story. And I thought just like that, the story with the father and the woman at the hotel was cute.
Yeah, that was cute.
Nice little add on. But altogether, it was a little different. It was a little weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of similar to my thoughts on Christmas at the Plaza.
Yeah.
Like if I don't like the casting and the choice, if I can't get behind the main love interest, that's like death to one of these movies.
Yeah, that's the end of the movie.
Forget it. It's not going to work for me. And that was my case with this guy, because I just thought he was a player and a jerk. I didn't like him.
I also feel like, obviously, being in Hawaii, it was not Christmassy at all.
Right.
And
yeah.
You could have put this movie any time of year and played it. Yeah. And it would have been the same.
It's kind of like Holiday in the Wild in that way.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. It was just so much in that respect. I was like, this is just not. I don't. Because I'm from the Midwest originally, I live here, but, you know, I still like snow and all those things, and it's really weird to me when they put a movie in. Like an island. That's why it never happens. That's why people don't get to their destination. Not meant to be.
I'm going to give this 2.5. I don't think it's like outright terrible, but I just didn't like I wanted her to stay with Brian Greenberg's character. So
I'm gonna give it 3.5 because I did like it better, and I did like the actor. I didn't love the character, but I thought the guy was so nice to look at. I couldn't get over
it. I get it. I totally do.
and I'll give props to Lea Michele for doing something a little different. Mm-hmm. But you know,
yeah, she was good. I would have liked maybe for her to sing once.
Yeah, actually, really? I actually thought it was good that she didn't sing. She sang It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, and then she did a duet at the end, but it wasn't actually her singing on screen.
It was just in the credits. So it would have been fun to do like a karaoke scene or something like that.
That's true. That would have been a good game or what, a reindeer game or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, something to do with Christmas music. But anyways.
Yeah, it is what it is. So there we go. We finished. I still think it was a pretty fun weekend of movies. And so hopefully we told you about some that you guys listening can go and see. Let us know your thoughts. If you watched any of these, or do you think we were too harsh? Do you think we were too easy on them? Let us know in the comment section or on Twitter. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Colleen. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. It was fun. I hope we can do it again sometime.
Yes, definitely we will. And do you have social media that you'd like to share?
Sure. I am on Twitter and Instagram at Lele44094, Lele44094. And I just am on Facebook as Colleen Fox, Fox, Low, Lowew. Fox was my maiden name. So,
And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and everywhere. So definitely please check that out. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod. Make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. And if you are listening on YouTube, please give us thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We sure appreciate that. We have a ton of fun content coming up. We've got some more fun interviews. We had our special Dressing Your Truth holiday edition with my cousin Ann this week. So check that out. I hope you enjoyed it. And so, yeah, let us know your feedback. Consider becoming a patron like Colleen, and maybe you get opportunities like this, right?
Yes, awesome.
It's really fun. We try to have a good time. We have giveaways and other exclusive content. So check that out. The information will be in the description section. We also have our merch store, which has all kinds of holiday designs by artist Jessica Miller. So check that out as well. And thanks again. This was really fun. And we will talk again soon. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!